Code Winds, Episode 11. Cassandra Perch, an engineering evangelist at RetailMeNot, an instructor at Girl Develop It, discusses modular JavaScript application architectures and insights learned from teaching JavaScript. Welcome to the Code Winds podcast, where we cover leading edge web developer news and training with an emphasis on Node, JavaScript, and HTML5. My name is Jeff Barczewski, and I'm here to help you navigate the winds of change. In this episode, I caught up with Cassandra Perch, an engineering evangelist at RetailMeNot, and an instructor with Good Girl Develop It at JSConf 2014. We discussed modular JavaScript application architecture and insights she has learned in teaching at Girl Develop It. The links and show notes for this podcast are available at codewinds.com/11, as in episode 11. Let's get started. Today I'm speaking with Cassandra Perch. She's an engineer evangelist for RetailMeNot and also an instructor for Girl Develop It. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hi.
I was able to talk with Cassandra here at JSConf, and she's got a talk this afternoon that's going to be on modular application architectures in JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking with her more about that, and also to find out some more things about all her experience with Girl Develop It. So Cassandra, what can you tell me about modular application architecture?
Basically, it's the idea that JS has a very big fanaticism problem. I believe people are picking one tool and then issuing all other possible solutions for that particular tool, be it a framework or even with Gulp and Grunt recently with build tools. I've noticed a lot of people basically ditching Grunt or completely disparaging Gulp just because of the way they've picked tools. And I think we need to think about how we develop our applications more based on what does each job properly, as opposed to just picking one overarching framework and going through it. But it's funny, I actually read this morning a post of someone saying that the premise of my talk was complete bunk. So nothing helps your nerves like someone prominent in the Node community writing an article saying that the premise of your talk is bunk the morning of. But it's definitely going to be an interesting talk, I think, especially with all the recent conversation around it.
Yeah, I know people get very passionate about some of these things, and but it's interesting. You know, we need to have the discussions. We need to have the debates,
and that's true.
That's the only way to, you know. I mean, but you know, we can be nice about it.
Yeah, we can.
So, wait and hear what person has to say before we announce our own opinions or
right.
whatever. So, but yeah, so that's great. Yeah, I know there's the whole. Back and forth on that. I mean, there's keeping things small and simple is, you know, easier to replace and easier to understand. But then, you know, a group like Happy, Aaron Hammer and his group at Walmart Labs, they've experienced the opposite side where with Express having all these components, having to get them together in the right order and all this stuff that was complicated. And so then they mm-hmm. created Happy, which doesn't have many of those issues. So, but it's, you know, so it's one bigger framework, but for that purpose, it works well. But
right.
It's harder to swap out things.
Right. And my talk, I mentioned that I'm not saying don't use frameworks ever. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we should be more judicious about how we use frameworks, and we should consider being a little more wary of frameworks that require a high amount of buy-in. They require a high amount of specialized sort
right.
of training or learning about a framework before using it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely not saying don't use a framework. I'm more saying consider the definition of the word framework, which is an essential supporting structure. And I think a lot of frameworks have kind of strayed away from that definition and become these like monolithic things, whereas there are a lot of frameworks that actually hold up as good examples of architectural support and essential organization for an application.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I think that's great. And I think, I think I might have been reading one of your blog articles or mm-hmm. something on the, you know, talking about maybe the frameworks that use other, build on a lot of smaller components,
mm-hmm.
so that it would be easier to swap things out or learn or understand.
I talk a lot about flight at conferences, and that to me is a good example of a framework that provides an essential structure but allows you to bring in modules that do the tasks you need well.
Okay. So taking this idea a little further, where would my listeners want to go to start to learn about some of the frameworks that you kind of highlight in your talks, or which ones are good examples of what you think is a good way to approach this?
I definitely would consider Backbone and Flight very good examples of supporting structure, and you can Google either of those. Flight was written by Twitter, so they have a lot of information about it. Mm-hmm. And RetailMeNot is actually launching an engineering blog soon where we'll have some of our own case studies. We use Flight in production.
Okay.
And as for Backbone, of course, there's an absolute litany of resources about Backbone. For Node, I definitely recommend Restify, which is sort of kind of moving into that monolithic, but not really, not very quickly. I'd like to see where it goes, but I definitely would recommend it in the present. And there's definitely a lot of resources online for all three of these things.
Yeah, okay, great. And I guess switching gears and talking maybe a little bit about Girl Develop It, mm-hmm. and some of your experiences training ladies and girls there. What have you learned as far as teaching people, mm-hmm. and of all ages, I imagine, and experiences, and what can we learn in general about training, and what are things that are hard to do?
Yeah, definitely. So a little background: Girl Develop It is a nationwide nonprofit, and I teach for the Austin, Texas chapter.
Okay.
We actually. We're open to everyone. We have male students, TAs, and instructors.
Sure. Okay.
Girl Develop It, it's kind of created this sense of only women, but no, we welcome all students.
Yeah.
We teach adults in Austin. I don't know if the other chapters do children or high schoolers or not, but Austin only teaches adults currently.
Okay.
But what I've learned about training from that definitely is being reminded constantly that everyone learns in a different way, in a different pace. When you write a curriculum, you need to keep in mind visual learners and learners who learn from metaphors and anecdotes and people who just need to try things. I'm definitely an interactive learner. I need to try something before I learned it.
Right.
So keeping that in mind when writing a curriculum, you can get really focused on small topics and not get a lot done because you're trying to get everybody. One way we circumvent this is by training TAs to kind of keep in mind that there are different types of learners, and mm-hmm. we try to hit as many ways as possible while we're teaching.
Okay.
But we definitely offer exercise time where a TA can kind of go over a concept again in a different way with a student.
Okay.
And we try to have plenty of TAs. That definitely helps keep everybody together.
Okay.
One of the things that concerns us the most in training is we do two-day courses, and we worry about how many women or students will lose from day one to day two.
Okay.
How many people will get lost and say, okay, I don't get this and I'm not going to, and they don't come back for day two.
Yeah.
And I think having a lot of TAs and keeping in mind that everyone learns in a different way is definitely a way to help ease that attrition and help stem it a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, great. And so with your the way you guys teach this these classes and things, do you alternate with some lecture and then some hands-on and, mm-hmm. and all that? Is that kind of the model?
Yeah, we try to keep it about 10 minutes of lecture and then 5 to 10 minutes of exercise time. And basically, the exercise builds on the day. So you start out with something small, and then you build on that exercise as each lesson kind of teaches you something new about the technology.
Yeah.
I teach JavaScript, and we start with a small page that basically does an alert, and then we add variables, we add objects, and we add logic, and that's how it starts to build on each other.
Okay.
HTML and CSS, you build a web page, so you start with just an H1, and then you learn how to style it, and you build from that.
Okay.
And that achieves two purposes. It helps us know which students are behind, because we can kind of look at their example code and see where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing it does is it gives students something to take home.
Okay.
It gives them something. They've completed a project by the end of the class, and that sort of instant gratification definitely helps with students and definitely encourages them to explore more.
Yeah, okay. Great. And do these people that come to develop it, do they do a lot of them have any kind of program or scientific background, or are just all variety of people?
It's definitely a variety.
Okay.
I would say a good portion of our students are designers who are trying to learn web
development. Okay. Yeah.
I've also had a large influx of educators in recent years, either wanting to use technology in the classroom and thinking that's a good way to get into it is to by knowing web development, or just looking to change fields. And that's another large contingency of our students is people with no technical experience whatsoever, but they're looking to change change fields.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. And in the JavaScript world that you teach, what are some of the things that are most challenging that maybe we could work on to provide more good right. examples or more content or to help with?
Any way code is abstracted, okay. dealing with objects, methods, and functions, and trying to explain how a function can be assigned to a variable. Basically, yeah. anywhere you get into the abstract,
right.
we really start to see students kind of either get it immediately or they need a lot more extra assistance
right.
with that.
Okay.
So that's definitely the trickiest part.
Okay, great. Well, Cassandra, I really appreciate you meeting with me today, and it's been great content, and I look forward to your talk this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
I hope you've enjoyed this interview with Cassandra Perch discussing modular frameworks and teaching JavaScript. The links and show notes are available at codewinds.com/11. If you would like to keep up on the latest in web developer news and training, follow me on codewinds.com, where I have a podcast, blog, and video training covering Node and JavaScript. Until next time, this is Jeff Barczewski with CodeWinds. Music by AudioNautix.com.